Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ, and today I have two special guests on the line from the podcast Pods and Sods, Craig Smith and Eric Miller. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
Hello, your reluctant guests.
Yeah. Could you guys have more generic names, do you think?
Probably not.
Pods and Sods, hosted by John Doe and Joe Blow.
Right.
You know, it's interesting you should say. I don't think that Craig is all that common. I mean, I guess it evens out because of the Smith.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But Eric Miller, yeah, I can totally see what you're saying there.
This is why I have a friend named Bob Jones, just for this sake. I feel good about my name.
Nicely done.
Okay, so you guys are joining me today. I'm calling it No Shame, which is, I already did a rant on my AOR episode about the term guilty pleasure and how I don't believe in that, because what the hell do you feel guilty about if you like a song? I don't really understand where people are coming from when they call something a guilty pleasure. So, and I don't understand being embarrassed to like anything you like. But a lot of people, it seems, are. Or a lot of people, I don't know. Well, who knows if people like songs that they wouldn't admit to liking. But I know that I like a lot of music that people probably wouldn't expect just from knowing me just on the surface, or, you know, because I mean, I started as a metalhead, and, you know, my favorite bands are Cheap Trick, Kiss, you know, but I like plenty of stuff that is very poppy. Like I say, I much prefer pop to pretentious, you know, so I like pop music. I like a good song with a good melody. I don't really care who wrote it, or even a lot of the time how it's produced. I can deal with a lot of 80s production. It doesn't really bother me the way it seems to bother a lot of people. But the concept with this episode was to, we each put together a list of songs that maybe we should be embarrassed to like, or that a lot of people would be embarrassed to admit they like. So that's why it's called No Shame, because I think you guys probably agree with that guilty pleasure is kind of a ridiculous concept, because what's the source of the guilt? You know?
Absolutely. Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
It was one of the, I don't want to say problems, but one of my concerns when you gave this premise. Like, in sixth grade, I was the dude with the Duran Duran shirt covered by a denim jacket with a ton of Iron Maiden buttons. So, like, I've always kind of, you know, nothing's really been hidden. So I guess, like, for me, it was more like, what's the line? Like, you know, what would fall under this category? And I ended up coming up with a list. But, yeah, I mean, it's all stuff that I think anybody that knows me knows that, you know, I like this.
Well, maybe instead of guilty pleasures, it would be, like, I always sort of categorize it as, like, the Rolling Stone critic would not find these acceptably hip.
Fair enough.
Right? So these are songs that wouldn't appear in any Rolling Stone top positive of anything lists.
Okay.
Or, right? Like, imagine if you were at a Kiss concert and a stranger next to you grabbed your iPod and started scrolling through. It would be the songs that he would laugh at you for having in your iPod, right?
All 10 of mine.
Yes. Right. That's kind of the idea, I guess.
All right, I can dig that.
Well, usually you and I are standing next to the Kiss concert. So
yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. Like, Eric and I would go to, like, the most embarrassing artist on my list is probably somebody I've seen with Eric.
Right.
So, right. So definitely no shame there. Shame on the drive home sometimes. Yeah. What did we just do?
I don't know
that. Right. Yeah, just like, you know, I don't know, we've had those moments where it's just like, oh, man, did we really go see such and such, you know?
It's our friendship is tempered in no shame.
Kind of, yes. Well, there you go.
So we have a list of 10, right?
Yeah, that was the idea. I have more than 10 just in case. I guess I wasn't sure which ones I was going to talk about, but we'll just see how many we get through, I guess.
Okay. Because I'm OCD, my list is chronological.
I knew which a couple that I wanted to start with, but after that, I wasn't really sure. So
cool. I look forward to it.
All All right, so who's going to go first? Craig?
I'll go first.
All right.
So the first track is from the year of my birth, 1973.
Oh.
It is Could It Be Magic by Barry Manilow.
Nice.
It is a great melodic composition based on Chopin, I believe. And it's just one of, I don't know, I think Barry Manilow kind of gets a lot of, you know, I don't know, I think kind of the idea of a Barry Manilow gets some ridicule. But I mean, come on, like some great crafted pop songs there.
In fairness, I never really gave him a chance. I can't probably name more than three or four of his.
Really? Like, my mom was a fan, so, like, I grew up on this stuff.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom, when I was a kid, she had two records, Barry Manilow's Greatest Hits and that Elvis Aloha from Hawaii TV special record.
Had both of those in my house. That Elvis one with the hole in the cover? Had, like, a hole in the cover with the inner sleeve peeking through.
Oh, I don't remember, but...
Oh,
yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
But I can't even remember... Could It Be Magic? I can't even remember how it goes.
Right. I hope that you're not prodding me to sing a few bars.
Hey, I had put the idea of making us do karaoke of some of these songs, but you guys didn't have the guts. So.
That was worrisome.
That wouldn't be good for anybody.
This song was actually also recorded by Donna Summer.
Okay.
In a more, I don't even know if it was a more disco-fied version, but it's a bit of an epic song, and one that I highly recommend.
Hmm.
Also, Weekend in New England by Barry Manilow. Another just killer, killer tune.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like Mandy, I guess. And
Mandy's good.
Looks Like We Made It.
Looks Like We Made It is great. And what's the one that's playing at the beginning of the movie Foul Play? While they're driving through, like, the mountains. Ready to Take a Chance Again.
Foul Play? Is that a Goldie Hawn, Chevy Chase movie?
Or? As a matter of fact, it is. Yes. Right. Beware of the Dwarf.
I can't remember much about it except that. But
it was one of those movies that, like, when I was growing up, it was on HBO, like, every day in 1980 or whatever.
You said this was from 73, so Barry Manilow was that. Because I know he got his start with Bette Midler, right? As, like, her.
Yes.
So, but he was putting out records as early as 73. I wasn't sure.
Pretty sure that this was the first album of his, but okay. I mean, but by 78 he'd really kind of taken off, I guess.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm you know, Copacabana was 78. I think that was, you know, disco and Barry kind of.
Yeah, I don't think I can roll with that song.
Yeah, that might be where I draw the line.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So I will go next.
All right, yeah, Eric, you go next.
First one on my list, I'm coming strong out of the gate with Phil Collins' Susudio.
No!
Oh!
What's considered a cool song, but you know, catchy as fuck. I don't know if your show has explicit tag on it, but it does now.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, it's one of those songs. It's just not a hip song to like, but I guarantee you, everyone knows the words to that song. And you know, if you're in your car and it comes on, and you're not paying attention, and you don't change a station fast enough,
right?
You're going to find yourself into the song.
Would you say that's your favorite Phil Collins song?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Just, I got it. For the purpose of the list, yes.
Right, it's a punching bag kind of song.
Okay.
Let's all name our favorite Phil Collins songs. I know mine, for sure, is Against All Odds for me.
Wow, that could be on this list also. That's a good one. I like the, what was that one about the rain?
I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah, there was something.
I know that's a good song.
Yeah,
I wish it would rain.
I wish it would rain down. That's great.
Yeah.
Another Day in Paradise is good. You know, there's quite a few good ones.
Yeah. The only cheesier one besides the studio might be Something Happened on the Way to Heaven.
That one's rough.
Right? Ooh, I don't even know that.
The
one.
Video didn't help with the dog peeing on his leg.
it didn't help the cause. No.
But yeah, Phil Collins' studio, man.
Okay.
I'll defend it.
Right. You did.
I'll defend it to my, you know, I'll go out on that battlefield and defend it like Iron Maiden's The Trooper to my death.
Wow. Nice.
This is the first time ever that Iron Maiden's The Trooper has been conflated with Phil Collins' studio.
I think probably.
Right.
Yeah. Nicely done, by the way.
Thank you. So, BJ, on to you, I guess.
Yeah, all right. First one, I guess, for me, this was a number one hit in 1988. Was actually the third single from the album, and in my research, I found that the video for this song was directed by David Fincher, which I thought was interesting. It's a song called Straight Up by Paula Abdul.
So
I love this song. I think it's a great song, personally.
I just want to say real quickly, we recorded an episode of Pods and Sods earlier, and this song came up today.
Really?
we were talking about things that we could do podcasts on. So yes, Paul has been felt all around today. What?
She's forever our girl.
Right.
Yeah, I am not a fan of the rest of the album, really. But for some reason, I've always loved this song. I don't know. It's just got a great melody, I guess. And it's kind of, I don't know how people feel about the production, but I think it. I don't know. I just like how, I think it's well done, and I just like it.
Totally.
But yeah, I mean, I could live without Opposites Attract. Some of that stuff is insanely bad. I guess Straight Up was written, the same guy wrote Cold Hearted, too, but I don't really like that song.
Yeah.
I do like Promise of a New Day, which was from the next album.
That's great.
So that's like great. That so is I Love Rush Rush.
That's an awesome
ooh,
song.
Ooh, yeah. I don't like. Yeah, I don't like.
Oh,
that
come
so
on.
Much.
First single. Oh, come on. So good. So good. And what was the
Forever Your Girl is even a great song.
Yeah.
On the Forever Your Girl record, I might point to that one as the best one.
Really? Over Straight Up?
Mm-hmm.
I have to go Straight Up off the first record. Yeah. But I think the second record is actually pretty solid.
Do you guys
remember? I had the version that was in like a little compact like mirror.
Yeah, right, makeup thing.
The makeup
right.
case, yeah. That's a guilty pleasure. I owned that.
Do you guys remember the controversy? Supposedly there was another vocalist who they supposedly mixed Paula Abdul's vocals with hers to make it sound better or something. I remember that woman coming forward back then.
Oh, wow.
But I don't, yeah, well, I should have researched that. But
the only controversy I remember is them like switching up the aspect ratio on the video to make her appear skinnier.
Oh, right. That's
the controversy I remember with Paula.
Right.
Until American Idol.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good one. So, shall I?
Yeah, go for it.
Speaking of Donna Summer and my last choice, number two is Donna Summer's cover, 1978 cover. It took up the entire fourth side of her Live and More album, her cover of MacArthur Park, which is a medley of MacArthur Park, Heaven Knows is in there, which she sings with the guy who does... I think he's the one that does, "You're the best around, nothing's ever gonna keep you down." That guy?
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's the same dude. So yeah, MacArthur Park, sweet. But I'll take the single version in a pinch, you know, if I don't have 18 minutes to spare.
You know,
well, it's like, basically it's four songs and then MacArthur Park comes back in at the end, I think.
Right.
But it keeps the same beat throughout, so right. It's just a huge medley.
Nice.
But, and you know Heaven Knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. part of it.
Nice.
Speaking of which, if I can be a real geek about it, there's a 12-inch mix that's slightly different. Still 18 minutes, but slightly different in parts.
But
has some
live.
Overdubs.
But it's live.
It's not live. It's it's like, you know, Kiss on Live 2. It's
okay.
The fourth side is unlive, but more unlive than the other three.
Gotcha.
Oh, right. So this isn't live. This 18-minute medley is not.
No,
live.
I'm sorry. It was a fourth studio side.
Right.
Live.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's why it was called Live and More. This is the
right.
End
okay.
Ah.
Okay. Wow. And so the additional side was an 18-minute medley. That's interesting.
It was. Yeah. It was. It was one of those things. Like when I was a kid, you know, like I loved records, and it was one of those things where you see the space on the record. There's no space on the album, so I'd be like dropping the needle, and I'd be like, why can't I find the beginning of this song? And you listen straight through and realize it's just all one long thing.
My next one is, again, I was kind of going on to the punching bag premise, and this is a song probably really on hip, say you like. It'd be Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On. Say what you will, that is an emotional song, and her delivery is stellar. And if you like Titanic, you know, it hits a nerve.
It's like I Will Always Love You. It's got that same kind of like epic ballad vibe, right?
It does, yeah.
I like both of those songs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally agreed. And, you know, If you say you don't like this, you're just being a dick. Like, if you, you know, open your heart a little bit and listen to this song and, you know, stop worrying what people would think. And
right.
It's pretty epic, like you said. It's incredible.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was.
And BJ likes it.
Yeah, I like it. It was on my list, but I also knew it was on Eric's list. But yeah, the guy who wrote the music is he did the score for the whole movie, and then the guy who wrote the lyrics actually co-wrote "Looks Like We Made It," which we talked about before.
Really?
Yeah, Will Jennings.
Who is that? Oh wow!
He also wrote "Up Where We Belong" and all of like the big Steve Winwood hits in the 80s, and he co-wrote "Tears in Heaven" too.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's
a bit of a resume there.
Yeah, maybe it's the Celine Dion part of it that has that stigma.
Yeah, that is. You know, she always seems so fake. I don't know. She just came across to me as when she would be interviewed. It might have been partially was probably the language barrier and stuff, but she just seemed really inauthentic or something.
Yeah, and the impression on SNL didn't help.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah,
you know, I'm the greatest singer in the world. And a guest hire doing that,
and that guy that she married too.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
But yeah, that I think that is a great song. Yeah.
Yeah, near, far, wherever you are, get over it and like that song.
That's all right, so I think I've got a pretty embarrassing one here for my next one.
Okay.
This, I really like this whole album pretty much, and it, I believe it's the biggest selling studio album of all time by a female artist, the biggest selling country music album ever, and the biggest selling album by a Canadian act. That's according to Wikipedia. It's an album called what?
I think Eric's got a guess. I have no idea.
It's going to be Shania Twain.
Yes.
Really?
Come On Over by Shania Twain. And the song I picked is Man, I Feel Like a Woman, because I figured that was the most embarrassing.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Let's go, girls. Come on. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. No inhibitions, make no conditions, get a little out of line. I ain't gonna act politically correct, I only wanna have a good time. The best thing about being an old man is the prerogative to have a little fun.
I think it's a great song. I love the hooks in this song. It's, you know, this is a Mutt Lange. The whole album is Mutt Lange.
Hey!
Right? So, what?
I said, hey! It's got those Def Leppard haze from Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not, yeah. Well, you hear that on Heartbeat City and Waking Up the Neighbors, the Bryan Adams album. They all have the exact same vocals, you know, the exact same Mutt Lange. But,
this is,
you know, this album, Come On Over with Shania Twain, is way better than Adrenalize, in my opinion, you know? And if you take a similarly titled song, Make Love Like a Man, well, Man, I Feel Like a Woman is way better, in my opinion, than that song. So, you know, yeah, it's Shania Twain, but they're Mutt Lange songs, and they're not that far removed from Let's Get Rocked, you know? I mean, you know, anybody, you know, I was, Adrenalize is one of the most disappointing albums ever for me, but, And I mean, when that single came out, Let's Get Rocked, I was just like, what the fuck? But
awful.
But yeah, so Come On Over by Shania Twain, I mean, if you're going to put Adrenalize on, put this on instead. Because really, almost every song of the album is good. I like all the singles from it, but I just figured, Man, I Feel Like a Woman would be the most embarrassing one.
What other singles are on that record, BJ?
You're Still the One, the ballad, and one From This Moment On is on there. I'm okay. Holding On to Love to Save My Life is good. Pretty much almost all the songs are good, though.
He knows this shit.
Well, man. I'm looking at it Wikipedia right now.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, no wonder you wanted to do this episode. You really just wanted a vehicle so that you could really spout off about Shania.
You know what's funny? I actually got her, like, when she was more country and less pop before, like, Butt Lang, I got her debut where she's like, I can't remember the name of the record, but she had a country, you know, modest hit on that first record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, ooh, that is, I like her. And it was like the first country album I bought.
Really?
And then the second one I bought was Faith Hill, Wild One.
I remember.
Before she was, like, popped out.
I remember you were way into her.
Mm-hmm, on the first record before anybody gave a shit.
Right.
But, interesting. I totally want to see, like, I'm imagining driving, like, pulling up to a light, looking over. There's BJ in the next car rocking out to Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Nice.
There's a lot of good hooks in that song, you know?
No, I agree. It's one of the, there was one of hers that I was really annoyed by along those lines. She got more into those kind of talky songs where the, you know, she'd like talk the hook.
Yeah.
And the next time she did it, I was kind of annoyed by it. But this, in this one, it was charming.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, I can get behind this one. Well, BJ, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it on the country tip, as they say, for my my third choice, which is from 1980, and it's Kenny Rogers.
Ooh.
And the song is "Lady."
Nice.
You're my knight in shining armor, and I love you. What a great goddamn reading of a ballad.
You have made me what I am. I am yours.
Written by Lionel Richie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good. You have gone. Oh, it just gets me, you know, it gets me the way, like, My Heart Will Go On gets you. It's just like, you know, if you just listen to it, like, listen to the fucking emotion in the song. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit if it's Kenny Rogers or Lionel Richie.
Right.
Just, like, whatever the dude is conveying, like, you feel that. Like, even as a kid, I was just like, wow, there's something going on with this song. I don't understand these feelings that these dudes are talking about, but I will one day. Right?
Nice.
Probably more often than I would ever want to.
That's cool.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, lady. Good song.
So moving on, shall I?
Sure.
Next, I had a bit of a quandary. I couldn't figure out which song to go with from this artist.
Did you pick only, like, one song by each artist? You didn't repeat an artist?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and I, you know, I thought of, like, for the most part, I thought, like, okay, well, what artists are kind of uncool in these definitions that we've talked about?
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with Justin Timberlake, and I'm going with Cry Me River, because that is a great fucking song. I thought Sexy Back at first, but I know you hate that.
I hate Sexy Back.
I know you do.
Yeah.
But Cry Me River is, they're both good. They're both good.
Okay.
Yeah, do you like what are your thoughts on Cry Me River or Justin in general?
Yes, I do not like it.
I can't get behind the Justin Timberlake.
I was very offended. I believe Rolling Stone put that in the 500 greatest songs of all time.
Cry Me River.
Yeah. You know,
it
and
is a good song,
probably
man.
Zero Cheap Trick songs on that list, so.
Yeah. You're going to put the flame in if nothing else.
But yeah, I'm not a fan of Justin Timberlake really at all.
Yeah, I don't, it's one of those that I just don't get, right, BJ?
Yeah.
Well, you're familiar with this song.
Oh, yes.
Have you guys listened to it fairly?
Go on and just, yes, I could probably recite every lyric. What do you mean, have I listened to it fairly?
Well, some of you.
I was inundated with it.
Like, for instance, you're never going to give a Justin Bieber song a fair chance, right? So.
I would if it was a good song, I wouldn't care if it was by Justin Bieber, but. You know, I don't like the style of his, you know.
I like Justin Timberlake's music when he looked more douchey with that perm. I liked NSYNC stuff. So it's not a Timberlake thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more just, you know, I don't like his solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard anything from him solo that I was like, oh, this is innovative or interesting. Not even catchy. Like, I feel they're just, like, a little too simplistic.
All the pop songs.
But, I mean, there are, you know, pop songs that have a little more melody than, you know, I'm taking sexy back. yeah. You know, just give me a little bit of melody. Just a little bit of melody, Justin. I know you can do it.
I'm bringing sexy back. Get it right.
The fuck.
So yeah, JT.
This is where Pods and Sods is going to end on this episode. Rock and or roll.
All right. Well, related to this, I can't think of any NSYNC songs I liked, but I do like several Backstreet Boys songs, and I do have a Backstreet Boys song on my list, so I might as well go there now.
Okay.
I picked their first single, Quit Playing Games With My Heart, Max Martin song, which I like. You know, Backstreet Boys, very different from NSYNC. They were in very different, you know, NSYNC was much more just kind of shitty dance music, as far as I could tell, whereas Backstreet Boys were just more straightforward pop songs, I guess.
I love that you have analyzed that.
I don't know that I see that distinction now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the only NSYNC songs I probably know were the singles, but I didn't like any of them, but I like...
I also like
I Want It That Way, of course, and I don't know, there's probably a couple other Backstreet Boys songs I liked.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a mistake. Tell me why.
I don't know.
Who did that? Oh, I think Steel Panther did a version of that, yeah.
I think it was, yeah. Yeah.
But I That's quit playing song. Games with my heart's probably their best song.
Quit playing games with my heart.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn, Craig. Yeah.
You know, I have a hard time putting this one on my list, but I'm only putting it on because I had put it on my Facebook and got such flack from some people. So recently we did an episode on Chicago. And, you know, one could say that towards the 80s, Chicago started to get a little more adult contemporary. And that's fine and good. And I don't mind any of those songs, really. But I think that 1982's Hard to Say I'm Sorry is a standout track, not only in 80s Chicago, but in their entire discography. It is a perfectly written song.
Who wrote it? Perfectly written ballad.
It was written by, I believe, David Foster.
Okay.
And Pete Cetera, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But as far as I know, it's just Cetera and their drummer, Danny Serafin, on the track. And the rest are guys from Toto.
That's probably why it got a lot of slack from, like, purists, if you will.
But, I mean, you know, they also give slack to, like, You're the Inspiration and Hard Habit to Break. Like, Chicago goes down this road. But, like, I just think that this is a perfectly crafted song. And it's also, music aficionados out there, got one of the best key changes you'll ever hear towards, like, if you're looking at the album cut, towards the middle of the song. Jumping from the key of E to the key of G flawlessly with Cetera just going over the top with that vocal, it gets no better.
Right.
If you don't like the song, you're a douche.
Right.
Be kept away just for the day.
I love that song. That would be my favorite Chicago song, I would say.
Would it really?
Yeah. Well, actually, before
I'm not a huge Chicago fan, but I think that's a great song. Yeah, I completely
agree.
Yeah,
it's so well done.
Well, let me just lump my next pick since we're discussing it. My next pick is Chicago's Look Away.
When you call me up this morning.
Yeah, that's post-Cetera.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that was like a number one song for the year. What was it, 86?
86, I guess, yeah.
Let's see. I could go really embarrassing for my next one, I guess.
Do it.
We're all friends.
It's hilarious. This song was, it was co-written by this guy, Michael Walden, who was the drummer in Mahavishnu Orchestra and played with Jeff Beck and Tommy Bolin.
Wow.
But the guy that sings the song was a former Soul Train dancer, and this was a top 10 hit in 1986. It's by Jermaine Stewart. Do you guys know what song I'm talking about?
Is it We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off?
Yeah. We don't have, I love that song. We don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a song I probably haven't heard in 20 years.
Yeah. I was gonna say it was Rod's younger brother, Jermaine.
Jermaine Stewart was he was also a background singer, and I think he did backgrounds with like Culture Club and stuff.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that song for a long time either.
See, but then you're opening a can of worms. Like, I think what I was listening to around that time, and any mixtape that I made from that year would be my top 20.
Right.
Like, they'd be all songs like that, you know? You'd be like, Forget Me Nots by Patrice Rushen, you know? Just like shit like that.
I think I like this song a lot for one, I think it's funny and it makes me laugh and cracks me up, but also it's a good song. This, like, similar to Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car, which I almost put out here as well. You know, I like the song, but I also get a kick out of it. So there's like a double thing going on there. But yeah.
Do you think Jermaine Stewart had like a lot of game trying to pick up groupies? Like he would try,
yeah, right.
try chatting them up, and they'd say, "Yeah, but baby, you have that song. Oh, come on,
He like talk blocked himself,
right? It's just a song." His next single was like, "Just Get Freaky." Like he went, he was like, "Yeah, go the other way."
That's great. All right, let's see. My fifth would be from 1984, Lionel Richie. There's nothing embarrassing about a Lionel Richie song. You know, Lionel Richie was, as I was coming up, Lionel Richie was everywhere. But this is, you know, if somebody's going to reach to a Lionel Richie song to mock, it would probably be this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Hello. It is, again, just a perfectly crafted and arranged song that is just, that's, and just the sound of it is so somber and minor. But, like, you know, the chorus soars, you know, and just, like, it is so good.
And it is.
And what a video.
Yeah, and it's such an emotional performance.
It is.
The video, as much as that video gets, you know, scoffed and mocked, mm-hmm. like, what a perfect video for that song and that message.
Yeah.
And, you know, fuck you for not liking it.
Yeah.
Whoever is
yeah.
listening to this and don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Send all your criticisms to Craig Smith.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted. And my arms are open wide.
Down with that pick.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah, I had Three Times a Lady on my list, and then you guys just posted it on your page.
Oh yeah, we did.
Yeah, so I, yeah, but yeah, I like a lot of Commodores and Lionel Richie stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you can't piss on that stuff.
Fee time to meet it.
Yeah,
that's right. Fuck we.
So, just a slight return to boy bands. My next pick, I'm going with some NKOTB with a little Step by Step.
Ooh, baby.
And you know what? I have it kind of for a personal, like I have a memory of riding in a car with four dudes and it was on the radio.
Where's this going?
And we each had a step.
No, I was just going to say, did you each have, which one was your step?
I was,
Were you having a dream that you were skiing?
I think I might have been step one because I was driving.
Okay.
We can have lots of fun.
It would have been great if you were step three.
That's the Jordan
right?
one,
right? Because that's the high one.
You and me, right?
Right.
Step one, we could have lots
step
of fun.
Step four is the dopey step. I can give you more.
Right.
Right? Is that Danny Wood?
I think so.
Yeah.
The one who couldn't, the one who couldn't sing at all.
Right.
Don't you know that the time is right?
Good.
I just did the move. You know, I have a personal New Kids story as well that I don't even think that we've shared on Pods and Sods.
Ooh, rock and or roll exclusive.
It is. There was a girl who I was smitten with who worked at the Carvel when I worked at the smoke shop, you know, in my...
Can you do this in the Cookie Puss voice?
No. And
BJ probably has no idea what Carvel is.
My
girlfriend Carvel. Didn't know what Carvel was.
Yeah, I lived in New York. I lived in Queens. There was a Carvel in my neighborhood.
That's so weird. Yeah,
Tom Carvel from Carvel. Patton Oswalt has a little bit about
does
it.
Does he? Yeah, I mentioned Carvel to my girlfriend like last week, and she wasn't aware of what it was. Yeah, these things you assume are universal. So there was a girl that worked at the Carvel who was a New Kids fan, and to woo her, I ended up learning some New Kids on the Block songs on piano.
Nice.
And not even like the hits, like the fucking album cuts.
You were serious.
I was serious. Like I could seriously sit down at a piano right now and play Baby I Believe in You and Where Do We Go From Here. And I could also play Tonight. Na 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 Tonight. Remember that one had a little bit of a psychedelic tinge?
Uh-uh.
Oh, come on. It's the one where they reference all their old songs.
Were these all written by Maurice Starr? Or,
maybe. But that's a song where, like, in the beginning, they reference all their past hits.
Right.
Like, the first line is, remember when we said, girl, please don't go.
Right, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And we taught you about hanging tough.
Right.
But then, like, the psychedelic, do-do-do-do-do-do, and the da-da-da-da, it becomes like a Sgt. Pepper song. So good. But yeah,
I like how they're reminiscing about last year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, remember when we told you that on the last
six
album?
6 months ago.
Yeah, right. But yeah, like she was way into it and I learned all that shit. And could still sit down and play it for you now.
Nice.
Ingrained. And she was my my senior prom date. So Maria, sending this one out to you.
Step one,
we can have lots of fun.
All right, so I guess it's my turn. So when I talked about my last pick, Jermaine Stewart Eric mentioned, said that you thought he sang backup vocals with Culture Club. So, yeah, I don't know if this one is embarrassing or not, but I put Karma Chameleon on my list because I think that's a great song, personally.
It's funny, we were talking about Culture Club because I can't even remember how it came up, but Eric was saying he never dug anything by them.
Yeah. It's part of our 1984 episode.
Oh, right, something we're getting ready to record. So I was thinking about it, and there are Culture Club songs, like I quite enjoy Time, parentheses, Clock of the Heart. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great song. That's really, that. I mean, I kind of enjoyed all of them, I think, but that was the one that I really popped for.
There aren't really any other Culture Club songs I think I like that much, but I think Karma Chameleon just has a really great melody. I've always loved that. I just think it's a really good pop
harmonica.
Song.
Harmonica. Awesome. So, 1984. We'll continue with 1984. I'm going to have to go with Careless Whisper. I believe the single credits it either to George Michael or Wham featuring George Michael. It was supposed to be a solo song.
Right.
And I think it was tacked onto their album.
I think my 45 sleeve says Wham featuring George Michael.
Okay.
Which gives it away. I love this song.
Wow, so you own this.
Yeah.
It was between this or A Different Corner, which is the ballad from the next album, Songs from the Edge of Heaven, I believe. But I think that, I mean, this one, it's just, again, just a perfectly crafted pop song and just, you know.
And that sax solo.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And just, it's got a great bridge. Like, the bridge on this song is spectacular, you know?
Time can never mend the careless whispers of a good friend to the heart and mind. Ignorance is kind, but there's no comfort in the truth. Pain is the hole you find. Should've known better, yeah.
But yeah, Careless Whisper is great. You know, I was going to put One More Try on my list, but I didn't even think that qualified as being embarrassing enough. But I love One More Try. Yeah,
I love Father Figure. Like, if you're going to go with something from that album, I think Father Figure is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, One More Try is my favorite from that. But
interesting.
But yeah, I figured, I don't know, Faith is probably respected enough that it, when the, well, I guess, if the guy at the Kiss concert grabbed your iPod and saw George Michael, he'd probably laugh.
Exactly.
But yeah, One More Try is awesome.
Yeah, it is a great song.
But yeah, Careless Whisper, probably better, but both great, yeah.
Thank you.
Let's see. I'm going to go with some Spice Girls. I'm going to go with my favorite Spice Girls song, which is Stop from Spice World, because it is a perfectly tight piece of delicate, awesome pop-ness.
Mm.
You know Stop? Stop right now.
Are you talking to me?
Thank you very much, yeah.
I saw them live. I know all these songs.
That is a great song. Like, of, you know, like, they're the bigger hits, probably, but this, to me, is, you know, a timeless, you can't not get into this song.
Okay.
I'm just sitting here thinking, I didn't think of the Spice Girls, but I should have. I could definitely put, like, Say You'll Be There on my list. That's cool. I love that song, but
yeah, Stop has, like, a Motown feel to it. You know, like, they're dancing in the street, and Emma's got this big white furry coat on, and they're, like, kind of in an England neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I know all the choreography.
I bet you do. Yeah, I mean, like, I like Spice Girls when they're not being annoying with, a Spice Up Your Life. Like, when they're shouting at me, it's just like, come on.
I like Spice Up Your Life.
Yeah, I don't need them all shouting at me at once.
I don't like them. I think the one I didn't like was, like, Mama. But I like Spice Up Your Life.
About Naked.
Love it.
Yeah. When I saw them, they performed on chairs. The chairs that made you think that they were naked.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw them right after Jerry was booted.
If you ever see one of Emma's chairs on eBay, let me know.
I'll let you know.
Stage used chair by Emma Bunton. Highest bid there.
All right, let's see if you guys can guess. You guys could probably guess this song.
It says No Shame.
Yeah.
This was not a hit when it was originally released in 1981, but it was re-released by Rhino Records and became a number one hit in 1987 after being featured prominently in several episodes of Family Ties.
I know it. At this moment.
Yes. Billy Ware and the Beaters. Yeah.
In fact, I remember that in the episode, doesn't he show... Is Michael J. Fox married in that episode or something like that? He puts a band-aid, Billy Vera puts a band-aid over his wedding ring, and he's like talking to, I want to say it was Michael J. Fox, like, this is how you get away with, like, you know, pretending you're not married. He puts a band-aid over his wedding ring. I could be completely wrong on that.
I don't remember. I just remember that's Michael J. Fox's wife that was his, I guess, girlfriend, or I don't remember, yeah, you know, Tracy in the Powell, episode. Right? Yeah. And I just remember them dancing, and I think the band was actually in the show, right? Performing at something.
I think it was.
Maybe it was at somebody else's wedding, and Mike and, you know, the Family Ties family were at this wedding. I don't remember, and it's how he met Tracy Pollan, or I don't really remember, but...
Yeah, it was the moment that they fell in love.
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't get along. They were at odds, but opposites attract.
Right.
And you can't resist the magnetism of Billy Vera and the Beaters at this moment.
I would agree. I remember it being very... I haven't seen the episode since it aired, and I remember being a kid and being like, wow.
You know what? Like, having said that, this is like the Dirty Dancing soundtrack in sitcom form.
This one's called At This Moment. What did you think I would do at this moment, when you're standing before me with tears in your eyes, trying to tell me that you have found you another, you just don't love me no more. What did you think I would say at this moment
when I'm faced with the knowledge that you just don't love me. Did you think I would curse you or say things to hurt you? Cause you just don't love me no more. Come on, you know me too well. How could I hurt you when, darling, I love you? And you know I'd never hurt you. Subtract 20 years from my life. I'd fall down on my knees, kiss the ground that you walk on, if I could just hold you again.
So yeah, at this moment, I think it's a great ballad. I don't think there's even a studio version of the song, right? The number one hit was actually live.
Yeah, the live one.
Yeah, but it's great. Great song.
Yeah, just one of those fluke hits, like When I'm With You by Sheriff, that like years later gets rediscovered and, you know, becomes a huge hit. So we're going to 1985 for pick number 7. And let me preface this by saying I think Madonna is vile. In fact, BJ... I do want to say that I do believe the impetus to you having us on was our episode about bands and artists that we just don't get. You were very, very vocal about some of our picks and maybe a little angry, yeah?
No, not angry. But
I don't know.
Just kind of baffled. I was kind of baffled by, for example, calling the Ramones overrated. Just kind of very confused by some of the... but yeah...
Yeah, one of my picks was, or it may have been one of yours, Eric, Madonna. And I can't stand Madonna now, and I think she's incredibly overrated. But I will say that Dress You Up, there was a time in my life like when I had, don't ruin it for me. There was a time in my life when I had Madonna posters on my wall and, you know, snuck a copy from somebody of that Playboy from 1985 or whatever, and... you know, because this is, you know, there's no shame here.
Right.
So, yeah. And I think this was probably the pinnacle of it, you know, was Dress You Up.
Yeah, I would agree. Of those songs, like from that era, like classic Madonna, that's the one.
It is, right?
What's the good song? Dress You Up.
Yeah.
Dress You Up was on the Filthy 15, the PMRC list.
That's right. It was, yeah. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane.
I don't think there's anything offensive about this lyric at all.
But yeah, I thought about Madonna. Like, I like Cherish a lot. And probably from her earlier singles, Get Into the Groove is my favorite. But there's several Madonna songs I like. But yeah, I have said that...
There's some I like.
I have said there's got to be the greatest chasm between talent and success. Madonna's got to have everyone beat.
I think I have to agree.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And like, you know, she's also probably the person who, when I've heard live performances, her voice was that much different from her studio efforts.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She, you know, like her live voice is, and it's not even just like off key or anything, it's really throaty and deep and just not good. Mm. And it just doesn't sound like a Madonna record.
No, they obviously, she obviously does a lot of work in the studio to make it sound good, which she can't do on stage, yeah.
Exactly. So, but I'll stand by Dress You Up. And Like a Prayer.
Oh, Like a Prayer is a great song.
Like a Prayer is great.
Yeah.
My next pick, written by Mr. Desmond Child, I believe, Livin' La Vida Loca.
Yes, it is written by Desmond Child.
And that is, again, that is just really super catchy.
If I would have been thinking, I would have gone with his follow-up single.
She Bangs?
No. That was from the next album. The follow-up single was She's All I Ever Had. It's the way she looks at me. It's the way she da-da-da. It's called Bella.
Oh, okay.
She's All I Ever Had. Oh, it's so fucking good. I had the single. I believe it had a Spanglish version on it. That's right. Yep.
You live in La Vida Loca. You don't really hear it. I mean, maybe I'm not in circles where that would get played, but...
No, I think you might be.
Maybe. It was, I mean, it was white hot, and it was, mm-hmm. you know, you couldn't get away from it, but now I don't hear it really, but I always liked it.
Yeah.
You know, and it rocked a little bit. It had dance, and, yeah. you know, it had a lot of elements in there.
Flavor.
Mr. Richard Martin. Sir Richard Martin.
Rick.
Who joined Menudo in 1984, by the way.
That's true. That's where I knew him from.
Right?
He was in those copies of 16 Magazine that I was buying for Duran Duran pinups.
Does Menudo mean something? Does that translate to anything in English?
Many boys.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Because I'm going to say the prefix is men, so it should have been like boyudo.
Yeah, it should have been.
Right? Yeah. Menudo would be like them now.
Right, right. If they reform.
This song, it says on Wikipedia, when the video is played in an episode of Beavis and Butthead, the duo mistakes it for a telethon before finally changing the channel changing the channel to watch Violent and Funky by Infectious Grooves.
Really?
And it's a song called Two of Hearts by Stacy Q.
I need you.
So I don't know how they mistook it for a telethon, but... What year? This song was, shit.
Like
what year was it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was around there.
She
yeah.
was in a band called Q, and then they became SSQ. My brother just recently told me about this SSQ album, which was Stacy Q's band.
Didn't before they have a song called Screaming in My Pillow?
Did they?
I mean, I'm not proud of this, but, you know, on Pods and Sods, on Pods and Sods, I often talk about my my experiences as a teenager seeking out the softer sides of porn, as it were. And there's actually a Stacy Q video where I believe that she's fully naked with another woman. And it was on that Red Hot Rock VHS, which was a VHS full of music videos that showed all sorts of unsavory things, things that, you know, 11-year-old boys shouldn't be watching. But I remember this video, and then like 20 years later or something, I find out that it was Stacy Q, and I was like, now I kind of want to see it again. Like, now that I know it was Stacy Q, you know?
Right.
So yeah, Screaming in My Pillow, seek that out. Might be on the YouTube.
Yeah.
Two hearts that beat as one.
Yeah. Yeah. Great song. I think it's a great song. So.
Did you own it, BJ? Did you have like the 45?
Oh, yeah, I have the 45.
Nicely done.
I have a jukebox, which Two of Hearts has been featured in.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. I can dig that.
Yeah, I have a whole collection of 45s like this, you know, all these songs. Probably most of the songs we're talking about.
Wow. In fact, when you hear them in these episodes, they'll be taken right out of his jukebox and ripped direct onto the episode.
Yeah, well, the jukebox needs a new stylus, so...
my friend had one. They're a bitch to upkeep.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was... I didn't know Stacy Q had such a history.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll give you everything you want to know about Stacy Q. Or at least just what I told you.
BJ, I'm liking your list with Jermaine Stewart and Stacy Q.
It wasn't what I thought at all.
No, me neither.
No, it wasn't what I thought he was going to be coming with. I'm a huge fan of the next artist, unashamedly and unabashedly. She was the first, with this song, the youngest artist in history at that point, to write, produce, arrange, and perform a number one song. That number one song is Foolish Beat, the artist, Miss Debbie Gibson. Thank you.
Foolish Beat.
And let me tell you, a friend of mine, I mean, I knew these singles because they were huge. Mm-hmm. And my sister's friend had tickets. She was taking her daughter to see Debbie Gibson, had an extra ticket. I was like, yeah, I'll go. And it was at Man Music Center in Philly in the pouring rain. And this was the second song. And I fell in love.
Foolish Beat was the second song.
She opened with Staying Together. And then went to the piano, and she started playing Foolish Beat from the bridge on the piano. Huh. And then all of a sudden, the whole band kicked in, and I was like, holy shit.
That's a weird second song.
It was. And I was 15 and completely in love. Mm. And her first three albums, still. I'll still listen to them today. Third one being the best. Anything Is Possible, masterpiece.
Wow.
Foolish Beat, one of the best singles of all time.
Nice.
Love it.
Yes.
DJ has been... kind of eerily silent during this.
Well, yeah, I think Only in My Dreams is a really good song. Beyond that, I don't know how much...
They're all good. Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Well, don't think I ever heard anything from the third Debbie Gibson album, so I wouldn't really know.
You wouldn't have, but they were all great. I recommend, if you're going to check out songs from the third album, I would recommend the following. Where Have You Been?
One Hand, One Heart.
One Hand, One Heart is great.
Best song ever from her.
It's up there. It's up there. Where Have You Been? Try Shore. Like the album, it's a bit of an epic, BJ, and I'm not sure you know about this. The album was divided into two halves. There was like one half that was written a bit of a Motown kind of upbeat style, and that's the Energy Up portion.
NRG.
NRG Up. Up Arrow.
Right.
And then the second half was Mood Swings, and it was like eight simmering slow jams. This so-called miracle, so fucking, don't fucking laugh at me. Lead Them Home, My Dreams. It's so goddamn good. It's all true. It's all true. Let me tell you a funny story, BJ. I believe that I went to see Debbie on the Anything Is Possible tour. It wasn't even the tour. It was one of those radio station shows, and I remember Mark Cohen was there right before Walking to Memphis broke. Heaven's Edge was there.
Oh, nice.
And they each played like two songs or whatever. And Debbie Gibson, maybe the outcast there. Her star was starting to go on the other side. Mm-hmm. So there's a funny picture that my friend worked for the radio station, my friend's dad, I'm sorry. And he got me the autograph of hers that night. Right after she went off stage, I saw her sign it for him. He brought it over to me. I was in the front row. But he took a picture. And it's maybe one of my most prized material possessions. It's a picture of Debbie in the foreground getting ready to sit at the piano and an audience of people that are kind of conversating and me like with my arms like on the stage, like propelling myself like as much as I can with like this huge open mouth. So, and tremendously proud.
So aside from
to be a card carrying member of the DGIF, Debbie Gibson International Fan Club, number 5707. I don't know what's so funny about any of this.
Nothing.
Any of this.
Nothing's funny whatsoever.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. Solid tours for the first three albums.
Yeah.
Third one being the best.
Yes. I like her fifth album.
Think With Your Heart.
Correct.
That's right. It's got For Better or Worse on it.
I love
that. That was the single.
That's a good record.
It is a good record. It's a fine record. No Love for Body, Mind, Soul, number four.
Couldn't get into that. She was trying to sex it up a little bit.
But come on.
Feeling it.
Losing Myself, one of the sexiest songs of all time.
I didn't feel that one.
I feel it. Yeah. I feel it now when I listen to it. I'm a 41-year-old man.
That's not the Debbie I want.
Oh, it's the Debbie I want.
I want the smiley face on the knee with the chucks.
Debbie. I think that's creepy.
You know?
She was 15 in that video. Yes, you said it. Shall we move on?
I want the Debbie dancing on a pole.
I do.
Deborah. Yeah, my next pick is Whitney Houston's So Emotional. You know, it's from, Whitney, her second record.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's got a guitar solo in it, which is like, I think, first guitar solo.
Is that even
Houston
a real guitar? Is it a real guitar solo?
I think so, yeah.
Wow, I always thought it was like synthesized.
And she says like, work on me, like in there.
Oh, wow.
That's fucking hot.
That is kind of hot.
You know, she was hot. at that time.
I agree. Like, I remember when I Want to Dance with Somebody came out.
Good Lord.
I remember seeing that video and I was just like, holy Christ. Like, same she here. Was the object of my affection at that time.
Me too. I remember her going on Arsenio Hall's show and he was just drooling.
Yeah, she was hot.
Yeah, so emotional is it, you know, it was like a pop song, but it wasn't a traditional, like, Whitney pop song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of rocked a little bit more. And the video had her, like, with the, like,
was it black and white? Tap.
In the beginning, and then I think it was color, and then she was like wearing a leather jacket with like a white tank top and just like ripped jeans or whatever.
Oh.
It was kind of like her Janet Jackson's Black Cat,
right? Right,
so
right.
It was like her one rocker on that
record. I dig that.
Yeah,
yeah. That's just bubbling under my list. Mm-hmm.
I get so emotional.
And you're checking what y'all can do.
Yeah, right? That note gets there.
And it gets higher, like other parts of the song.
So good.
So good, yeah. I dig it. That's a solid choice.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, well, on my list is a song called I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Oh, nice. called it.
Yeah. That her fourth number one single. It was, I think it was the first single from that album, right?
It was. Yeah. I remember it.
I think it's a great song. Great pop song.
And she does, you know what? You know what's sexy? She does those little coos in the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like a close up of her mouth in the video. Yeah. I don't want to sound perverted or anything, but you know, I was what, 15? Yeah. This dude was married to maybe one of the least talented performers ever to aspire to a career of top of the charts. That woman is Jennifer Lopez. The man, Mark Anthony. Mark Anthony had a catchy as fuck song called I Need You.
Uh-huh.
Are you guys familiar with this song?
I think so.
I don't know. Maybe if I heard it.
Ah, you might. It's got a bit of a flamenco kind of guitar solo. And then he comes in, you're the reason, da-da-da-da. I don't even know the lyrics, but like it's kind of interesting because, like, you know, he's telling this girl how much he needs her.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, as the song goes on, he's like, I want to marry you. And just, like, all of a sudden, it's just got, like, he needs her. Now he wants as, you know, wants her as a fucking wife.
Wow.
You know? I need you for the rest of my life, girl.
Oh, right.
I love you. Won't you be my wife, girl? And then he's like, won't you marry me? It's like all of a sudden, just like, you feel like it's the first date at the beginning of it.
Right.
And then just like, this woman is so powerful that at the end of it, he's just like, I want you to go down the aisle with me. It's pretty goddamn close. But it is a catchy goddamn song. So good. I need you.
Good one.
Great backing vocals on it, too. I really need nobody but you.
So my next pick. I got two left, right? So we got two left. You got one left.
I got one. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with some "Call Me Maybe," Carly Rae Jepsen, because
I'm very disappointed in you.
That is really catchy, and it is really great. You know, I got no qualms about that song. I love that song. And the clip of her doing it with Jimmy Fallon, where they're playing like the little kid instruments, is adorable. Yeah. Anything on "Call Me Maybe," BJ?
Oi.
Yeah. You like that song?
No.
You don't like it?
I don't like that song.
Yeah, this is one I can't get behind either.
Right. Well, you're wrong.
No, you're wrong. Because you're outvoted.
Well, this song was the first song by the band that was sung by their bass player, Timothy B. Schmidt, and it was a top 10 hit.
I almost had this one! Love this song!
I can't tell you why. Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's great.
Bum, bum,
it's about as close as I get to like yacht rock sounding stuff, because I'm not really a fan of like that Pablo Cruz type shit, but...
But this is a great song.
Yeah, it's great. Great melody. I love it.
You never heard yacht rock? Really?
No.
Christopher Cross and shit like that?
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. This is a...
I don't know the song.
You totally do.
I can't tell you.
Oh, right. 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 Yeah.
So good.
Last round.
Last round. I'm going to throw out some Britney.
All right.
There are probably like maybe four or five, maybe three or four Britney songs I like.
Mm-hmm.
Every Time is a great song, minor key. But there is something about Toxic.
That's a great song.
There's just, I think this song, oh, it's so good. Catchy as fuck. And then, like halfway through that, is reversed,
mm-hmm.
played backwards. So good. And might I say, sexy. Sexy song. Absolutely. Sexy video.
Well, yeah, she's naked in the video.
Well, she's wearing a suit of jewels, Eric. She's not naked. You know.
naked enough.
No, you know what I'm saying. Use the imagination.
Right.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on Toxic, guys?
I love Toxic. If I was going Embarrassing for Her,
yeah,
that's a great song. But just going for the sake of it, it would have been funnier if you'd have said, not a woman, or not a...
I'm not a girl.
Not a girl, not a woman.
Yeah.
BJ probably would pick that because the Shania Twain song.
Yeah, that's true. It's more in line of the titles he's been choosing.
Right?
Yeah. That's good. It's good too.
That is a good song.
Yeah.
These guys have a really loyal fan base. They're still able to like play in theaters pretty consistently. And I had hopes that they would have a lot of longevity and be like a modern Bee Gees. Didn't quite pan out that way. Mm. And that would be Hanson and Mbop. Because that is awesome. That is such a great, catchy song. And, you know, they're talented dudes. And, yeah.
I know that fairly recently they put out a very well-respected album that, again, was along the psychedelic lines from what I read. But
yeah,
I've never heard anything from it.
Yeah, they probably don't get a fair shake. And I honestly have never picked up any of their work, right? But, yeah.
Did you have a favorite Hanson brother?
No, not at all.
You were an Isaac guy?
No, that would pretty much make me a pedophile.
No, the one dude was old, wasn't it?
Well,
Grace's kid was like in his late teens.
I'm trying to look here.
No, I mean like now. Not saying then. Although you did say you liked the Debbie Gibson from like the Out of the Blue video.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what's funny about that is I go to professional wrestling a lot, and there's a real hot, badass tag team that uses Mbop. They come to the ring to Mbop, which is
embarrassing.
Like it adds to their
campiness.
Right, it adds to their badass-ishness. So my final pick, Hanson. Mbop. It's come to this. 29 songs. We're down
right.
to one.
And I guess I'll go with my Britney Spears song, which I don't know if you guys know or not. It was a single, but I don't think it was a huge hit. A song called Lucky from Oops, I Did It Again.
She's lucky.
Yeah.
She's a star.
I think that's a great song. Sounds like an 80s. It could have come out at the same time as Two of Hearts, and it would have pretty much fit in, I think.
Right.
Interesting. I think that's one of her lesser works if you're weighing the works of a Britney.
It really? Is, no, is. I would say it's my favorite of her songs.
This is a story about a girl named Lucky. Early morning, she wakes up. Knock, knock, knock on the door. It's time for makeup. Perfect smile. Yeah.
Okay, wait, so...
Waiting to say how thankful you are that you've had these two
ladies. Yeah, of course. Thanks a lot for doing this. It was a lot of fun. I knew it was going to be, and...
It was a good time.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun for people to listen and laugh at us, and... Yeah, and
laughing at us, they really are laughing at themselves. They need to take a look in the mirror.
I'd be curious to see what some of my my favorite podcasters would also offer.
Yeah, I'd love for you to have other guests on and do this premise, BJ. Again.
Yeah, I'm going to try and see who will do it, but yeah, definitely. Except I'll have to come up with more.
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering. You're gonna be at like 160.
I think I could probably do it.
No problem. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to either.
He went to Stacey Q and Jermaine.
He did, so he can go pretty.
Well, I was trying to get the most embarrassing, you know.
Right. Next is gonna be like Mercedes Boy by Pebbles.
Oh boy, no.
There's nothing wrong with that. I own that single.
I could go with. What's that Martika song?
Toy Soldier? Toy Soldier.
I could go with that.
Well, then we'll be done. Written by Prince.
Well, thank you for having us on. Yes. Thank you for doing this.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys. Yeah.
I have to say, I'm very glad that we got the first bit of this. Like, I feel honored that, we were on the first installment, if you will.
Yes. So you can blame us when you get a giant drop in listenership.
Or you can blame it on the rain.
All right, and now to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
We could, a Lionel?
We could stick one more try at the end, or...
I would be good with one more try.
Sure.
back.